Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Guy-Geesh with the Pettawoods Group, and welcome to WRMR, Revenue Marketer Radio. About twice a month, we meet to talk to a real revenue marketer and learn tips and tricks on how they've made that transition from being traditional marketing to revenue marketing. And it's more than just listening. This is an interactive show, so please feel free to call in or chat, and we're happy to include you in the dialogue. Now, before I introduce our guest today, I would like to take a moment to define the term revenue marketing. And it's so funny because when I started this radio show in, gosh, I guess it was 2008, and we started using the term revenue marketing in 2010, no one knew what it meant. It has become somewhat of a ubiquitous term, but let me share with you our definition. Revenue marketing is the process of transforming marketing from a cost center to a revenue center. And what B2B marketer doesn't want to do that? I think we're all feeling the pressure to be accountable for revenue or some type of financial metric. And revenue marketing is that discipline to help achieve financial accountability. And every time on the show when we have a revenue marketer on, it's not somebody to tell you how you should be doing it. Nope, I only talk to real revenue marketers. Those marketers who are actually on this journey, and so they can be here to share what has worked for them, and the part that I like the most, also kind of share those gotchas, those hidden roadblocks. And so I'm very, very pleased to announce today's guest. It's Chris Shorter. He is the Director of Digital Marketing at Roche, and Chris has just gone through moving the marketing organization or the demand generation function from being a decentralized to a centralized revenue marketing organization. And I know that's something that is a hot topic for everybody because it seems that everyone wants to know how should we structure our organization. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Debbie. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your background and your role at Roche.
Yeah, happy to. So I've actually been in the digital space for basically my entire career, so about 15, 16 years now. I started out in really a full-service agency setting for basically the first half of my career, and that's where I learned, you know, how to manage and create very, not necessarily complicated, but integrated campaigns. Because we were a full-service agency, we were able to do campaigns internally with an ad agency and web developers and digital print and telemarketing. And so we were able to develop very complicated, again, integrated campaigns for some pretty large customers, certainly in the Fortune 500. And so that was a great stepping stone because my focus really was around lead generation. And back in those days, when I first started it, as probably the old timers might remember, we were actually using faxes to send leads out to the field, and that began to evolve into email marketing.
You're giving away your age, Chris, when you say faxes, but I understand. I've seen that before.
But you know, it was certainly very interesting to be able to see the entire journey to where we are now, to actually be, you know, a revenue marketer and you know, obviously work with companies like the Pettawoods Group. So, yeah, absolutely. So about 8 years ago, I joined Roche. I think most people are probably familiar with the name Roche. They probably associate it with pharma, which is certainly a large part of our business. But we're also the largest in vitro diagnostics company in the world. And really what that means is that we provide tools that help healthcare providers in detection, prevention, diagnosis and treatment of disease. So, you know, every day we come into work, that's what we're thinking about, and it's certainly an inspiring place to work.
I bet that is. That's a wonderful service that you are providing to the world, no doubt about that. So you joined Roche 8 years ago. What's your role? What's your title in your role today?
So my title is Director of Digital Marketing for Roche Diagnostics in North America. And basically what that means is we've got four different business units. And, you know, I'm responsible for driving the digital strategy across the organization, ensuring that we're sharing best practices, that we're aligning on processes and methodologies, technologies, developing partnerships, things of that nature, and making sure that we're basically working together as a team as opposed to four very distinct parts.
And, you know, that's something that I see in revenue marketing. You really can't be successful with it if you don't know how to collaborate, because you're always having to collaborate both within functions of marketing and also outside of marketing. So, and I'm sure you have to do a lot of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before, and I will talk about it in a little bit, but before, you know, all of our business units were doing very distinct things, using various different types of technologies, you know, certainly in some cases targeting the same individuals, which certainly is not good, especially if your messaging and your creative is not consistent.
Were you guys running multiple platforms as well?
Yeah, we were. We were running three platforms. At the time, it was ExactTarget, Eloqua, and Marketo. And now
We
standardized on Marketo.
Okay. And how long have you guys been up and running with Marketo, Chris?
I'd say we've been up and running for a little over a year and a half. It's been quite a journey, as you can imagine. You know, it started really as kind of a grassroots effort. We had been using a kind of a legacy CRM tool for several years, and luckily our management team decided to move to Salesforce.com and have a single view of our customers, what we call a 360-degree view of our customers, because currently, you know, it was just no way to understand, you know, again, how we were interacting with those individuals. So at that time, we were five separate business units, and you know, again, we had no centralized process. It was very obvious that we needed to align on a platform. And so when I was actually at the time, I was in one of those business units, and I just basically, you know, raised my hand and said, I'm happy to leave this, and just really tried to pull everybody together, all the heads of marketing, to align on a path forward.
So I'm always very interested in, when you work with a larger organization, how, you know, things just grow organically, different business units use different systems, and then you have some kind of galvanizing event. And for you guys, clearly it was the understanding that we really need to have this one view of the customer. We can't keep parsing out the customer and overrunning each other. And so really bringing in CRM was that galvanizing force for you guys, and also your desire to really have that 360-degree view. So bring me back to when you got tapped to do the job, Chris. And did you think that the company in general and all the heads of marketing were on board with moving from a decentralized function to a centralized function?
I would say, you know, they were certainly open to the idea, but it wasn't really kind of a burning platform for them. So, you know, we really had to kind of get them on board. And to the credit of my current boss, you know, she really saw how the market was changing. She saw how, you know, we weren't working together as a team. And part of the digital function actually used to sit inside of our communications group, and she saw that we didn't really necessarily have the resources or the focus that we needed to be successful. So she actually carved out the digital group from communications separately, and that's basically when I came on board to manage that team and really help, you know, take a long look at, you know, all of the way we were structured and, again, how we worked together. And then that's when I really pushed for more of a center of excellence model. You know, having been in the businesses, I certainly saw how much value, you know, having somebody embedded in the business was. You know, from my perspective, those individuals are, you know, day-to-day sitting next to the people that are really helping to execute campaigns. And so I wanted to be able to kind of take more of a hybrid approach to where we did have a center of excellence that reported directly to me, but that we also made sure that we had really good line of sight into the business and that we were all working together. And so we actually put a little bit of teeth into that so that our digital marketing managers had goals that were tied directly to the success of our North American strategy. So from a center of excellence standpoint, we have people that focus in on campaign analytics, manage our social presence, manage all of our key web properties, and then we just really help the business, you know, move forward with certainly with things that they need, and we got honestly also push them to be more progressive in a lot of ways as well.
So I'm also fascinated, you've used this term several times, you call it a center of excellence. Can you define that for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really where we help shine a light on best practices within the organization. So it's, you know, sometimes when you are embedded in the business, it's very hard to be strategic because you're trying to put out fires and, you know, you don't necessarily have time to understand what's going on in the market and who's best in class in technologies. And, you know, we also try to take kind of, you know, the best of the best in terms of, you know, our social presence. And we've recruited somebody that's, you know, just outstanding in that area that's really helped elevate our presence. So okay. Some of it's in, you know, talent acquisition, bringing the right people on board, and some of it's just really, you know, we have to be the ones that push the strategy and really help the business be successful.
Okay, that's fantastic, and I love the term center of excellence, as you know. I think that is exactly what, when you have a centralized function, that center of excellence is a key role for any centralized organization. So I'm also interested, and I'd love for you to share this with our listening audience, Chris, because having helped a couple of companies through this, you know, once you end the BUs, if they're using marketing automation, and then all of a sudden marketing automation moves to a centralized corporate kind of run function, then people say, who has what role and responsibility? So if you could kind of talk about the different roles and responsibilities, and I think also how you as a company decided who would do what. So when you think about the digital group, if you just kind of talk about their roles and responsibilities, and then talk about the organization, I guess it would be the different business units that you collaborate with. Is that right?
Exactly. So, yeah, our business unit, digital marketing managers, into that individual marketing team still is responsible for, you know, helping sales to hit that specific number. So the accountability does lie in the business. Our job in the Center of Excellence is really to give them all of the tools that they need to be successful to hit that number, as well as be involved in the strategy when there are major campaigns. We just had one that just launched a week or so, and our team was heavily, heavily involved helping to set the social strategy, to help to, you know, understand how we're going to track all of the, you know, the numerous promotions that were going on from, you know, whether it be a traditional ad placement or banner placement or SEO campaign. We really helped them utilize, you know, Marketo and Google Analytics and Tableau and Alteryx, all the sort of tools that we use on the back end, and really help them set that up before the campaign launches, which we all know is best practice. So that's basically how it worked.
So the digital marketing manager lives in the business unit, and do they report into the business unit?
They technically report into the business unit, but again, they have goals tied specific and financial goals tied to successfully following the digital strategy and being a part of our team. So we meet as what we call the extended team twice a week. And honestly, that is literally my favorite 2 hours of the week because it's all about sharing best practices. And, you know, we have a lot of strengths on our team, and, you know, they can certainly balance each other out. So, for instance, we've got, you know, one person who is just an unbelievable at graphic design, which, you know, traditionally isn't the strength of a developer. We have some people that are unbelievable at analytics, other people that are unbelievable at, just say, doing very complicated webinars. So we're able to share during those 2 weeks, every 2 week meetings, and it's just unbelievable collaboration.
So I love that, and that's the point where everyone wants to get to if they're running a centralized function, is how do you have that extended team actually built between you and the rest of the organization. So I think that is really, really interesting. So you've got this structure where the center of excellence is basically a consultant, right, for how to do revenue marketing at its best. And then when a BU, a business unit, do they come to you with a campaign idea? Do the campaign ideas generate from the business units?
In general, yeah. They usually do are coming from the business, and that's when they'll engage us and say, you know, we've got this idea, let's just say, you know, thought leadership. How would we try to identify who those KOLs are online? And so we, you know, for instance, we may have a tool that can help, you know, point them in the right direction. You know, how would we utilize LinkedIn to help support, you know, this campaign around product X? So, yeah, absolutely. They generally come to the table with the initial idea, and then we're certainly there to help them.
So do you guys, I mean, a lot of companies that I work with, they have what's called an intake process, where the field or the business unit will have the campaign idea, and then bring that forward to the central function. But there's a piece of technology, and there's like, you know, almost like forms that you fill out. I'm looking for this, and these are the kind of things that I want to pull together. You guys have something like that in place, or is it more informal?
Currently, it's a bit more informal, but we are working on really identifying. We've actually got it narrowed down to two different platforms that will allow us to almost take a job in like an ad agency would, to capture, you know, what are your goals, who's your target audience, things of that nature, so that we can manage it internally. But then also ensure that we're following things from a regulation standpoint. So obviously in the healthcare industry, we're heavily regulated, so we do need to make sure that we, when we are developing, whether it be traditional content or digital content, that we have a very streamlined approach that ensures that we're making sure it goes through all the regulatory and legal reviews, and that, you know, we have good processes to make sure that content that's out on the web, if it becomes obsolete, that it's pulled off. And so we have developed kind of an intake process. We're in the transition phase of really trying to move that over to a better technology.
That's really, really good. Now, one of the things that I heard you talking a little bit about is how you work with the extended team. But I also know in a company that has a centralized revenue marketing function, you also need to be an educator, right? You have to train the business units. What does a best practices campaign look like? What does a best practices social program look like? What is nurturing? What is an integrated program? So how do you approach educating the digital marketing managers that are within the BUs?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Actually, we, you know, coming into this year, that was certainly one of our largest priorities, because we've actually built out a suite of tools for our marketing organization. But a lot of the marketers weren't aware, and they didn't necessarily know what to do, how to utilize them, who to engage. And so we actually, this year, developed what we're calling a marketing summit. For 2 days, we had all of the marketing, basically all the marketers in the North American organization come in, and we developed a very robust agenda for them, almost totally centered around digital. We had a keynote by Jay Baer. I'm sure you're probably familiar with him. He generally talked about how we can use digital to be able to provide our customers with more value and that actually providing value in the digital space will certainly help help you move forward in the long term. And then we got much more tactical. We actually had 6 different sessions around digital. So we had 90-minute courses on social media, on inbound marketing, on data-driven marketing. We also had Kevin Joyce from the Pedowitz Group come in and really educate high level on marketing automation and how to properly set up the campaign in advance. And not actually, we didn't look at any screenshots or log into any tools. It was all about strategy and where you might apply these different methodologies and technologies. And so the feedback coming out of that event was overwhelming. It's funny, our phone has been ringing off the hook the last 2 weeks now that we've armed our marketers with knowledge around digital. And so they're starting to really bake in a lot of digital around around the campaigns that they're developing for 15 and also for 16. So
you just gave me chills because, again, I love educating marketers around how to be revenue marketers, how to be digital marketers. And honestly, Chris, we're just now beginning to see companies wake up and realize that they've got to have some kind of standard education that they can provide to all the folks that are involved in digital marketing, revenue marketing within their organization. So congratulations on having a wonderful event. Now, I want to turn to something that you mentioned, and I heard this word coming out of your mouth more than once, and so I was listening very carefully, and that is this idea of process. And so it seems to me that when you move from a decentralized to a centralized function, having processes that are common and that are best practices and that are institutionalized, shared and educated across the organization are important. So how have you done that with this move to centralized?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely critical. I mean, I think, looking back at the journey that we've had, that was certainly a myth that I think that we had. And quite frankly, it was because we weren't aligned as an organization at the time. And a lot of us historically thought, well, we can take any technology and just, plug it in and make it work. But revenue marketing does not work like that. You need to make sure that you've got your journey mapped out. So you need to understand the whole concept of digital personas and the customer journey and make sure that, not only just within a business unit but across the entire business that we're using the same methodologies and nomenclature even is very important. It sounds kind of, trivial, but we realized that we weren't really prepared to lead that on our own, and that's why we engaged the Pedowitz Group because, it's very difficult in our day-to-day to be able to focus on just, what we call keeping the lights on, taking the time to get everybody in a room together is difficult, and it's not something that just happens in one day. It's multiple days and back and forth and a lot of collaboration, and so I think if any of the key learnings that we had was, you got to do that earlier in the process to fully leverage, this great technology. So that's where we're at on the journey. We're developing that out right now as we speak. So it's certainly exciting, and having done the marketing summit, we've got so much more support and interest in participating in that than we ever would have before.
I just think that's a great story, and it's truly a great lesson. And so quite often when we are working with an organization, we'll talk about, taking the time to put these processes in place. And companies that listen really do have an accelerated journey that is more revenue-oriented and has higher impact, much quicker. And those companies that drag their heels and just don't want to do it, we do find that they move pretty slow. So thank you for sharing that, Chris. So, we have a lot of listeners out there, and, one of the things I think that they all want to know about is, what would be the 3 pieces of advice that you would give to a marketer if they said to you, Chris, we've got 5 different BUs, We've got different marketing automation platforms. We don't have a single view of the customer. You know, I know you've already been through that process. What are the three pieces of advice you would give to that marketer?
I think we hit on a couple of them already. I think the first is just the organizational buy-in. It's going to be very difficult to get everyone on the same page. And so you have to have a very thought-out plan in how you're going to engage, whether you have, you know, internally we have something called a marketing council, so that's all the heads of marketing. That's where I started, was really getting their support. Then working the way up, you know, it's not a trivial investment either. So in some cases, you know, you will have to invest in a partnership above and beyond the platform, which is certainly can be pricey. So just making sure that you've got the organizational buy-in, so that when you're trying to take people's time, when you have workshops and meetings, you have to be able to have those people in the room, because otherwise you're going to have a product that not everybody is bought into or happy with. I think, you know, again, education for me has been enlightening. The interest that we had before, people, you know, knew buzzwords, but they didn't really know necessarily how that might apply to their specific product, how they might be able to certainly more effectively market their products. And so figuring out a way that you can expose them to new things, specifically around technology and certainly around, you know, revenue marketing is certainly new to a lot of people. I know certainly when I was in school, there was nobody teaching about it. I know that there are more and more organizations now, you know, educating on this, but it's still, until you're in it every day and you're executing these campaigns, it takes a while to understand, you know, the overall methodology and when to do nurturing versus lead gen versus, you know, other very tactical things. So third, you know, I think just making sure that you have the buy-in of sales is also important. A lot of times we have a scenario where we're marketing to a lot of different types of people. So we market to hospitals, we market to PhDs, MDs, pathologists, patients. So it's difficult sometimes to be able to take the same approach. So you have to be flexible and be able to work with your business units so that you fully understand exactly what they're looking to accomplish. And, you know, we have some areas where a sale is very transactional. You know, the average order may be $500. We have other parts of the business that, you know, have 18 to 24 month sales processes, you know, multi-million dollars. And so there's different approaches across that. So working with your business units to understand their business is certainly very important as well.
So I think these are three great takeaways for anyone taking a look at reorganizing the marketing function around revenue marketing. And so let me just repeat those, Chris. First of all, you have to have the organizational buy-in. And I love that you were able to actually use a marketing council. And I also love that you keep that organizational buy-in through this extended team concept you have between your center of excellence and also the BU. So you've got it initially, and you're also keeping it going. I also like the fact that you mentioned education, which would be number two, because you're right. You know, marketers are very, very busy people, and your group is thinking about this 24/7, but the rest of the organization is not. So how can you expose them to the things that they need so that when they come to you with campaign ideas, they understand the true power of the technology and also understand the best practices so that you can have a relevant conversation? And then finally, number three is really two things. It's really getting the buy-in of sales, which, of course, is your ultimate customer, and also ensuring that marketing understands the business. Because you have to be able to have a business discussion, especially if you have financial accountability on the line. And that's the way you gain credibility. So I think those are three excellent, excellent takeaways, Chris. So
thank you.
Any final Any final comments that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
Not really. I just appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and you know, keep in mind it is a journey. You know, some of the best corporations in the world can take a while to accomplish this, and so you know, be patient, keep plugging along, and it'll certainly pay off.
I completely agree, Chris. So thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate that. And for those of you listening, remember you can download all these interviews from iTunes, or you can listen from your computer at Revenue Marketer Radio. And please feel free to join us at our next show. We're going to have Carly Brantz, and she is the Director of Revenue Marketing at SendGrid. And guess what? The Revenue Marketing function reports to the VP of Sales. So she's going to share what that is like. So, again, thanks, everybody. It's wonderful to be here with you today. Thank you, Chris. And everybody, remember, it's a great day to be a revenue marketer, and we'll see you next time.